You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. You know that old advertising slogan, happy cows come from California? It may have been talking about the cows in the Point Reyes National Seashore. If you take a day trip there this summer, you'll see them grazing the hillsides that overlook the ocean. And if you look closely, you may also be able to spot or hear one of the park's 700 or so tule elk. Point Reyes is one of the few national parks in the country that's zoned for both agriculture and wilderness. But this uniqueness has also caused a lot of tension between people who think farms don't have a place in a national park and others who think the elk are out of place. KALW's environment reporter Angela Johnston has more.
If you want to get a history of ranching in Point Reyes, you could do a lot worse than talking to this guy.
Oh, I'm Robert McClure. I am a fourth-generation dairy farmer. I tell people my standard line is I'm the fourth generation of people not smart enough to do something else.
The reality is his family has mastered how to raise and milk cows here. They've been dairying in Point Reyes for 130 years, before it was a national park.
Follow me, Angela. We will turn you into a cowgirl. Opie, come here. You're not a cow dog. Trust me.
McClure and his dog Opie show me a restored barn out back.
They used to milk the cows in here, I believe by hand, long before my time.
Back then, milk, cream, and butter were shipped to San Francisco by schooner. Now, McClure milks 500 cows, and the milk ends up in grocery stores under the Clover brand. It's one of six remaining dairies in Point Reyes. They're all organic, and they've also all been here way before the National Seashore was officially established in 1962. In the summer, the hills are brown and bad for grazing, so McClure's barn is filled with giant heaps of corn, almond hulls, and soybean meal, ready to be mixed for feed.
So that's our big margarita mixer truck. It's got big blades like a blender, and
yeah.
We put all of our feed stuffs in there, and that's where we feed the cows.
McClure says he's invested in equipment like this and has done pricey repairs, even though his family no longer owns the land. When Point Reyes National Seashore was established, some dairy ranchers sold their land to the national park in exchange for leases.
It was our belief that, you know, we would be here for at least as long as we're getting along. And we made significant investments in the dairy industry, especially dairy business, huge capital investments. I mean, we got to put literally millions of dollars into these places.
But now he's not sure how much longer he can stay. The National Park Service will soon decide whether to renew the leases for the six dairies and 18 beef ranches in Point Reyes National Seashore. Some environmental groups sued the Park Service to get an environmental impact statement, looking at how these farms affect nature. Now the park has to consider a handful of options, ones that keep leasing to ranchers like the McClures and their cows, and ones that could kick them out and protect other species, like tule elk. Dave Press is a wildlife ecologist for the park. We're walking through the fields of an abandoned ranch on the western edge of the peninsula.
So this is just a natural area now, and it's where the Drake's Beach tule elk herd spends quite a bit of time. So my expectation is that we'll find the elk out this way.
You can only find tule elk in California. Back in the 1800s, they grazed the Point Reyes Peninsula just like the cattle do now, but they were hunted out and most people thought they were extinct. But a small herd was found in Southern California, and many years later, tule elk were reintroduced back into Point Reyes. Now, if you take a hike in certain areas of the park, you'll likely see their antlers peeking out of the tall grass and fog.
Yeah, so there's a few animals over here. If you can see...
Press passes me his binoculars.
There's a couple crossing that fence, and right in between those two adult cows, you can see a little calf there.
An elk and her baby calf are stepping through a barbed wire fence dividing wilderness from farmland. In theory, the elk are supposed to stay in the wilderness, but...
They're going to go no matter what. They're going to do what they want to do.
The elk are wild animals. It doesn't matter if a fence gets in the way. They'll go over and under and through it enough, and eventually they'll knock it down. Farmers hate this, but the environmentalists who sued the park don't think elk should be confined. They point to 250 tule elk that died during the last drought.
So that really set us on a path to looking at how the park was being managed.
Deborah Moskowitz heads the Resource Renewal Institute. They're one of the environmental groups that sued the Park Service.
And what we found was that it seemed like there was kind of a priority given to making sure that everything worked well for the ranches.
While the elk and other species get the short shrift.
It's like, well, what is the purpose of a national park? Is it to prioritize taking care of wildlife? After all, where are they going to go?
When they looked into it further, they discovered the park's general management plan hadn't been updated in decades.
So, you know, a lot's happened in the last 38 years. Climate change, we know a lot more about that.
Moskowitz worries about the lack of water for elk and cattle overgrazing.
And also, another fact is that cattle are responsible for most of the greenhouse gases from the park.
And she says they produce more than 100 million pounds of manure each year.
I think sometimes people will say, well, it's your job as the National Park Service to take care of natural resources, which is true, and it is our job.
Melanie Gunn is a spokesperson for Point Reyes National Seashore.
And it's our job to take care of the cultural resources. So it's a great mission. It's challenging and complicated.
So as part of the lawsuit, the park agreed to update their plan and study six different scenarios, including what it would be like if ranching was cut back or totally out of the picture. But to be fair to the farmers, the cultural resource, they also agreed to study what it would be like if elk were gone. Because while the environmentalists see the elk as treasures that need protection, many ranchers see them as nuisances that damage their fences, like what ecologist Dave Press and I observed through his binoculars.
And then there's also concerns about competition for forage.
So once elk break into pasture, farmers claim they'll outmunch their cattle. Then ranchers say they'll have to start buying feed so their animals don't go hungry.
Our current elk plan, which was written in 1998, does not address the presence of elk on ranches. So it doesn't give us a whole lot of guidance on what we should do.
They've tried to manage the elk in small ways, like hazing them off ranches daily and hoping over time they'll learn to stay away.
But we need to consider the big picture. And the reality is that seeing tule elk along the Drake's Beach area, it's a major attraction for folks that come out to the park.
And West Marin is a small community. Neighbors have stakes on both sides of the lawsuit. But beef rancher Bill Nyman's outspoken.
It's politically incorrect to say that the elk shouldn't be here.
Nyman's family hasn't been ranching in the park for as long as others, like the McClures, but he's been extremely successful. He started Nyman Ranch here, now a multi-million dollar company, and he's now working with the meal kit company Blue Apron. He's confident about the way he manages his cattle.
Come, cattle! Come,
he says he's trained them like this so it's easier to move them around his land to make sure it isn't overgrazed. So he doesn't buy the argument about cows damaging the landscape. Nyman tells me he treats the land just as well as he treats his cattle, and consumers like it. But he thinks unmanaged elk would put all of that at risk.
Will this ranch operation be able to survive or thrive and produce food for human consumption in harmony with the elk? I don't think so.
Since their reintroduction into the park, the elk have multiplied. They have no natural predators here.
Unless you're going to introduce grizzly bears and wolves to prey on the elk and keep that herd in balance, or you're going to have Dick Cheney out here hunting with a high-powered rifle to reduce the number of elk, if we're not going to take those steps, the elk really should not be here.
Most of the park's future options involve closely managing the herd, constantly keeping the numbers down. But Nyman doesn't think that's enough.
It's not a zoo. It's not a petting zoo. And that's not what we should be trying to create out here.
Other ranchers, like Robert McClure, think it doesn't have to be either or. as long as they don't get onto ranches, he thinks they can share the park with the elk and hope the park will land somewhere in between, a sort of managed coexistence.
It has worked well for almost 50 years, and I've been involved in it for almost since the inception of the park. I've been here, and I remember even when the park bought the ranches, and we were a little bit apprehensive at first. Is this going to work out? But it really has. I mean, we can work together. In my opinion, it can be a model for, you know, environmental concerns, sustainability, and all that kind of stuff, and modern, viable agriculture. We can do it. We have been doing it.
McClure starts up an ATV and drives me to a big barn that can house cows in the rainy wintertime, so their manure doesn't flow into streams.
All of the manure is contained within here. You can see this little scraper thing that goes back and forth.
Yeah.
This was the first one in California installed as a scraper system. This just goes automatically, sweeps the floor. It just continually runs.
He says he wants to invest in more tech like this to keep the ranch as sustainable as possible. But with an unclear future, he can't afford that right now. McClure says a future with environmentally friendly farms is not only possible, it's necessary.
Because we have to. We have to be, you know, we all need to eat. We do. Whether your food choices may be different than mine, but we still have to eat. And we can, you know, your food doesn't come from the store. It comes from a farmer. And once we're gone, we're gone. We're not coming back.
The National Park Service is expected to come out with their environmental impact statement shortly. In it, they'll present their preferred alternative for the future of elk and ranch lands on the seashore. The public will then have 45 days to make comments. In Point Reyes, I'm Angela Johnston for Cross Currents.
Angela is KELW's environment reporter. You can reach her at environment@kelw.org.